Have you ever found yourself in a moment of real need? Unsure where your help will come from. In fact, even doubting whether help will come at all. Whether it is through a financial pressure or emotional strain, or maybe a relational crisis, maybe spiritual emptiness. We face these things, and when we do, they quickly expose our limitations, don't they? And make us ask, how will my needs be met? The Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the church in Philippi whilst he was in prison because he had preached the gospel. He was uncertain about the future. He did not know whether he would go on to live or whether he would die. Yet remarkably, he speaks of being content. Not because all his problems were solved, but because he had found a deeper foundation, one that sustained him, even in his chains. Paul had learned that in whatever situation he was in, to be content. Children, that means to be satisfied in God, to be happy in God. He basically said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, that whether he was rich or poor, whether he was well fed or hungry, he was content. Because he had lived hand in hand with Jesus Christ, who poured out into his life strength, so he could do all things that God had called him to do. And so he said, I am content. Believers, I think, can identify with these words of the Apostle Paul. Many have tasted and experienced the Lord's faithfulness in seasons of difficulty. And we have known some difficulty this year. Many difficulties. But even for those who are still exploring the faith, Paul's perspective challenges us. What foundation am I standing on when my world is busy shaking? Where do I look for strength, for security, and for support? Who will supply my needs? Paul gives an incredible promise in Philippians chapter 4, the passage that Neil read for us a bit earlier. He says to the Philippian Christians, and listen to this, and my God will supply all your needs. That's where their provision will come from. We see it there in verse 19. Where we read, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What a staggering promise that we find at the end of this passage. Let's begin with this promise. It's in response to the Philippians church's generosity, which they had shown to the Apostle Paul, which prompted him to give them this assurance. But for now, let us look at this assurance. God will supply all your needs. Oh my. I don't know if you agree with me. That is quite a bold promise. Because we have so many needs, don't we? We have needs for our bodies. We have needs for our souls. We have needs for ourselves. We have needs for our families. We have needs for the present. We have needs for the future. We have needs for time. We have needs for eternity. We have needs on earth. And we have a need for heaven. As Charles Spurgeon once put it, saying, your needs are as many as your moments and as many as the hairs on your head. Isn't that true? Paul mentioned many needs to the Philippian church in this very letter that we have been studying. They had the need to have the mindset of Christ. Also a need for discernment, for purity, and for spiritual fruitfulness. They had the need for their love to increase in knowledge and discernment. Oh yes, they also had a need for humility and for unity. They had the need for devotion to God and experiencing God's enabling power to persevere. They had the need for joy in faith. And then, of course, they had the need for the peace of God that would surpass all understanding, that would guard their hearts and minds. And they had the need for God to complete the good work of salvation that He had begun in their lives. Do you need faithfulness and joy? Guidance, wisdom, and strength. Do you need for every day grace and peace? Well, here is a promise for you. My God will supply all your needs. But you might ask, how will God supply my needs? Answer, according to His great riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God meets our needs first by giving us the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. For everything, according to the Apostle Paul, is found in Him. I don't know if that's the way you've understood the Christian life. Christ is sufficient for every need. You need forgiveness? Well, He has provided it. Faith? He says, look to Me. Compassion? He says, I am the compassionate one. Understanding? Well, I have been tested in every way like you have, even to the point of death. I understand what you're going through. I have compassion. Need for help? Well, He gives the Holy Spirit to guide us, to strengthen us, and to comfort us. Do you need an example? He says, follow Me. Do you need courage? He creates it. And love? Well, He inspires it. And peace? He's the prince of it. Paul says the promise includes every need, not just our spiritual needs, but also our emotional, our physical, our mental needs are all provided for in Christ. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul puts it like this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. If God did not spare His only Son, but He delivered Him up freely for us all, will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Jesus is the key to all the benefits and the blessings of God. You and I deserve no good thing. Well, He deserves it. And though God may not give you and me favor. He will always give it to his dear Son, his dear dying and risen and pleading Son. Outside of Christ, we have nothing. With Christ, we have everything. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 shows us that Christ is not merely the one who delivers God's blessings to us. He himself is the blessing. Paul doesn't say that our needs are met through Christ, but did you notice he says in Christ? That's the preposition he's using, and it is a vital distinction. Christ is not just a channel of blessing, he is the storehouse of blessing. Every spiritual and eternal gift is found in him. That's how it is. And only those who are united to him by faith can receive them. Did you notice that God's supply is limitless? It's not a surprise, considering who God is. It is according to his riches in glory. The means through which God provides for us is his riches. The source is glory from heaven. And this provides us with the assurance that our needs will be fully met from the limitless resources of the one who is only too willing and able to present for our needs both in the present and in the future. This is why the Apostle Paul is content. Not because of his circumstances, but because he is in Christ. And so he holds out Christ to you and to me to be both the source and the guarantee of true contentment, because those who possess Christ possesses all. Yes, it is true that unbelievers enjoy many of the common graces of God, health and food and relationships. You don't have to be a Christian to enjoy those gifts from God, talents, but these are all temporary blessings. And they are without saving power. Believers in Christ, however, in addition to these, they receive eternal salvation, lasting peace, and unfailing presence of God, all secured in Christ. Now, you and I cannot be a blessing to anyone, and neither can we receive a blessing from God. Unless what? I've been saying it the whole time. Unless we are connected to Jesus Christ. It's like a branch that is connected to a tree. If you are not connected to Christ this morning, and you are still trying to meet your own needs in your own ways, then this promise is for you, but only in Christ. So, will you come to him to receive it from him? Imagine a branch that has been cut off from a vine. At first, the branch may be looking quite green. There may even be some grapes on that branch. But what happens over time? So, the branch will dry out. The grapes will start to fall off the branch, or they will rot. And then the branch can't bear any fruit any longer, right? The only thing that it is good for is to be, well, to be thrown into the fire. Why? Because it's disconnected from the source of life. As simple as that. Now, suppose you graft that same branch back into the vine, into a healthy vine. Slowly, what will happen? As the branch is connected into the vine, there's a life-flowing essence that comes from the vine. And over time, the branch will come back to life and even bear fruit again. Fresh fruit. Good grapes. When we are connected to Christ by faith, His life flows into us. And then we are not only blessed ourselves, but we are enabled to be a blessing to others. Practically, being connected to Christ means that daily we should be holding on to Him by holding on to His Word and committing ourselves to a life of prayer. This is how God supplies our needs. He then gives us the Holy Spirit who lives within us, that causes us to grow spiritually, to start bearing fruit, and to be a blessing to others. And that same Holy Spirit, because we are connected to Christ, works in us eternal life. And all of this comes through our union with Christ. So now that we have seen the promise that God supplies richly, faithfully, and graciously, let us now go back and look at the generosity of the Philippian believers. The very thing that prompted the Apostle Paul to give this indescribable promise of God's rich provision for them. Now, the Apostle Paul was extremely thankful to this church because they have supported him. The Christians in the church in Philippi were very generous. They gave repeatedly. They sent to Paul a gift. Presumably it was some kind of a material or a financial gift. But it wasn't the first time that they had supported the Apostle Paul. He says that they had supported him time and time again, even in the early parts of his ministry. So they gave repeatedly. But then they also gave faithfully. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul left Philippi ministering to this congregation. And in Acts 17, he arrives in Thessalonica. Notice what Paul says to them in Philippians 4, verse 16. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once more. The Philippian church did not forget the Apostle Paul. They didn't forget the man who had preached the word of Christ to them. Their generosity was consistent and timely and deeply appreciated by the Apostle Paul. But they also gave to him sacrificially. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says they gave overflowingly and they gave out of extreme poverty to him. He said that he even felt robbed, like he was robbing them for all the support that they gave given him, because he used that support for his ministry to the benefit of other churches, like the Corinthian church. He's using this language of robbery to indicate the way in which they had sacrificially given to the Apostle Paul. So these Christians gave repeatedly, faithfully, sacrificially. Why did they do that? Well, the love of God in Christ Jesus created a love in them for the man who preached the gospel to them. The gospel taught them to be generous. Now, there was very little generosity in the Roman world of the Apostle Paul's day. These were times of great hardness of heart and even cruel-heartedness. People took more delight in bloodshed than preventing it. And for the most part, courtesy was dead. Our society does, I suppose, better in some ways. Think of social welfare and charities, community support, volunteers, public education, healthcare. How grateful I am for our healthcare system. Unemployment aid, you name it. But where society, like every human heart, is failing, falling short, is the deeper sacrificial kind of love that the Scriptures call us to give. Selfless generosity. Loving our enemies. Forgiving those who offend us. Welcoming strangers. Showing mercy. Expecting nothing in return. These are not social virtues. They are gospel virtues made possible through Christ. Without them, we may imitate love, but we cannot fully embody the kind of mercy and grace that God calls us to. And the Philippian church resembles this kind of giving. They gave willingly, faithfully, and sacrificially. Look at what Paul has to say about Christian giving in verses 17 and 18. Not that I seek the gift, he says, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Christian giving is an investment. It's not a loss. Paul isn't focusing on receiving money from the Philippian church. He's not interested in that as much as he's interested in what they stand to gain. In other words, the spiritual benefits that they receive by giving the support that they gave to him. He was more interested in the treasures in heaven that they would stand to gain. Yes, our earthly accounts may go down when we are generous and when Christ works through us, but our heavenly account grows. Now, this isn't a false kind of a prosperity gospel that teaches that we must give in order to get rich. No, it's a biblical truth that God honors those who give sacrificially in his kingdom. This is what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 18, verses 29 and 30. Anyone who gives things for his sake and the gospel's sake will receive in this life many times more, and in the life to come, eternal life. Jesus is not talking about earning salvation. That's a free gift of God through faith in Christ. But rather, God often blesses us with joy and with peace, spiritual growth in this life. But also, we could look forward to recognition from the Lord in heaven as faithful servants of God. These rewards are far greater than money. But in the second place, Christian giving also pleases God. In verse 18, Paul describes us as a fragrant offering to the Lord. Language which he takes from the Old Testament. Just as sacrifices were brought in the past as a fragrant offering to the Lord, so also the love and the service of God's people is a fragrant offering, a sacrificial act of worship to the Lord. It not only helps others, it also brings praise, the praise of God. So ask yourself, am I connected to the Lord Jesus? And if so, am I storing up for myself treasures in heaven? Am I generous in my serving, pleasing my heavenly Father? That's what the Philippian church reminds us of. True generosity that flows from grace, and God sees and receives and delights in it. What is the conclusion from what we've heard this morning? Well, Philippians 4 verse 19 is both a promise but also a principle for Christians. On the one hand, it is a principle. God delights to meet the needs of those who are spiritually faithful. God doesn't want us to be inactive in the way we receive His supply to us. But secondly, this blessing of the Lord is not transactional. It's ultimately a promise rooted in grace, not performance. Paul doesn't say God provides for our needs because of our giving. No, He provides in Christ, according to His great riches and glory. That means all provisions flow from our union in Christ. That's what we saw earlier, not from what we deserve. So yes, God blesses those who give, but the foundation of what God gives is His grace, not our generosity. We have lots of needs, don't we? You have lots of needs. You have need for food and for clothes, for everyday living, for your body. You have need of love, hope, and peace for your soul. You have needs for today, and you have a need for hope for tomorrow. You have need for help in this life, and also for what is to come. God says He will provide all our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ and in no other way. We can really thank God for this truth. We can thank God that He doesn't supply all our needs according to our performance or our faithfulness. That won't get us any far, but only based on Christ. So regardless of who you and I am, God will provide, but only in Christ. Let us remember this simple but all-important truth. So let us not seek God's mercy and God's favor without Christ. Let us not seek provision in relationships or expect the government to provide on all our needs or rely on money to provide in all our needs. Well, maybe that has been your problem your whole life. To this point, rather through faith in Christ. But as we saw this morning, take hold of God through Christ. And that is how the Lord will provide for all our needs. Paul knew this from experience, and so did many other Christians. Paul didn't speak in theory. He lived this truth. He wrote to the Philippians saying to them, when he was in prison, I am well supplied. Why? Because Christ sustains me. The Philippian church themselves is evidence of God's provision as well. While they were not wealthy, they were generous. And how is it that they were generous in the first instance? It's because God supplied all their needs already through Christ Jesus. And he would go on to supply all their further needs too. Throughout church history, believers have echoed this as well. Charles Spurgeon, I mentioned him a little earlier, that great 19th century preacher of London. He had a large congregation of over 3,000 people. He ran an orphanage. He trained pastors, oftentimes in the midst of great difficulty and much need. Yet he often said, God's supplies are never behind time. God will provide. It's just a matter of time. Many Christians today can say the same. God's care is personal, timely, and always enough. Is that your own conviction as well? In this passage, Paul talks about the matter of giving and receiving. Let us remember that we give to the Lord's, to the Lord and to his people, and when we do so, we are not losing. We are gaining. It'll profit us, says the Apostle Paul, and it is something that will profit others and is greatly pleasing to the Lord. So let us not wait. Since we have received Christ, let us not wait for ideal circumstances to be generous and to serve others. The fact that we serve the Lord is actually evidence of the Lord's provision for us in the first instance. So let us not hold back. Let us serve like the Philippian church did. Let us not finally receive God's provision and simply move on in life. Let us stop and glorify God. Let every blessing lead to praise. When God meets our needs, both big and small, let us respond to our God and Father to give him glory forever and ever. When we do that, we are in good company, company of God's people who have always done it. Well, may the Lord richly supply all your needs according to his great riches in glory, which he will do only in Christ.